this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5. We'll be coming there in just a couple of minutes. Now, folks, whether you believe in a literal devil or not, and by the way, I do, but whether you do or not, there is a constant tug of war going on inside every human being alive between good and evil, between righteousness and unrighteousness, between morality and immorality, between obeying God and disobeying God. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about why, as followers of Jesus Christ, do we still have this struggle inside of us? And secondly, we want to talk about how we can win this tug of war more often than we're winning it now. Let me give you a little bit of background before we dig in. Remember, in our last message from the life of the Apostle Paul, we talked about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we saw in that message that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an inanimate force. He's not an it, but he's a person. And as a person, he's more than a person. He is also God himself, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus. Then we looked at 10 different jobs, 10 different ministries that the Holy Spirit does today in the 21st century. But what I want to do today is I want to go on to talk about one more ministry the Holy Spirit carries out. And that is, I want to talk about his role in helping us live the Christian life. I want to talk about his role in helping us win this tug of war inside of us more consistently than we're winning it now. Now, let's start with the first issue we said. Why do we have this struggle inside of us as followers of Christ? Well, the problem is outlined for us in Galatians chapter 5, where I ask you to turn. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, "For our sinful nature craves what is contrary to God's Spirit, and God's Spirit calls us to live in a way that is contrary to our sinful nature." These two forces are in conflict with one another, so that we do not do what we want to do. Now, here in Galatians 5, God is telling us that as followers of Jesus Christ, that just because we're believers doesn't mean that our sinful human nature disappears. Oh, no. Actually, the Bible's telling us that as followers of Christ, our sinful human nature is alive and well and just as passionate and just as unruly as it ever was. This is why, as followers of Christ, that we still all want to eat too much, drink too much, sleep too much, spend too much, talk too much, gossip too much. It's why we all want our own way too much. It's why we all speed on the beltway too much. Because that sinful human nature is still alive inside of us. Maybe you heard the story about the man whose cell phone rang one day, and it was his doctor. And his doctor said to him, "Sir," he said, I'm afraid I got bad news and worse news." And the guy goes, "Really? What's the bad news?" He said, "Sir, the bad news is your test came back, and you only have 24 hours to live. The worst news is I've been trying to call you since yesterday." Now, friends, I got bad news and worse news for you. The bad news is that our sinful human nature is still alive inside of each one of us. The worst news is that it's stronger than we are. That it's strong, far too strong for us to ever be able to control it in our own power, in our own strength, to ever be able to subdue these passions. And the Apostle Paul talked about this struggle in Romans chapter 7. He said, and I quote, "For what I want to do," Paul writes, "I do not do. But what I don't want to do, I do. For I have the desire to do what's right, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, rather, it's the evil that I do not want to do. That's what I keep doing." Then he says, "So, I find this law at work in me, that when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law," Paul says. I want to do what's right. But I see another law at work in my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the sinful nature that lives in my body. What a wretched man I am. Who can deliver me from all of this? Now, folks, for the vast majority of Christ followers in our world today, what we just read from the Apostle Paul is their life story. They want to do what's right. They go out every day and try to do what's right. They really have a desire to obey God, but the passions of their sinful nature are so strong that they lose that battle every day. And there's a lot of us here who are just like that. And when this happens to us, we begin feeling so often like the Apostle Paul. What a wretched man, what a wretched woman I am. We get discouraged, we get defeated, we sink into a cycle of self-condemnation and self-recrimination and guilt. We read a verse like John 10:10, where Jesus says, I've come to give you life and I've come to give it to you abundantly. And we say, well, I don't know who Jesus is talking about in that verse, but he's not talking about me. Because I'm not living any kind of abundant Christian life. He must be talking about other people. And you know, if we're not careful, we can even begin doubting our relationship with Christ. We start asking questions like, hey, if I'm really a Christian, then how come I can't live the Christian life? Maybe I'm not even really a Christian. You say, Lon, you know what? I'm really glad I came this morning. You have thoroughly depressed me. Why? I don't even know why I got up to come here and get depressed. I could have stayed home and gotten depressed, Lon. Well, wait a minute. I'm not done yet. Wait a minute. I got two really good pieces of news for you, but let's at least admit what the problem is, okay? Now, what are the two pieces of good news? The first one is this, that as followers of Christ, God's love for us is not based on our performance, whether it's good or bad. That's important for us to know. In fact, this is the point that Paul makes in Romans chapter 8, the very next chapter. He concludes with this wonderful affirmation, verse 38, for I am convinced, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in creation, including our own poor performance, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, friends, as followers of Christ, do we sometimes lose this performance tug of war going on inside of us? Yes, we do. When we lose it, does that diminish or change God's love for us? Friends, not one iota. Not one iota. You know, I've raised three boys. My youngest one's 18. And let me just say, during the years when they were growing up, their performance wasn't always what I had wanted it to be. Now they're grown men, and their performance still sometimes isn't what I wish it were. But you know what? That doesn't change my love for these boys. I don't love these boys because of their performance. I love them because they're mine. You see, my love for them is based on our relationship. It's not based on their performance. And the wonderful news of the Bible is that's exactly how God feels about us. That his love for us is based on our relationship with him through Jesus Christ. It is not based on our performance. And may I say that if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus in a real and personal way, some of us here today have never had anybody in our entire life love us like this, based on relationship and not performance. But how cool would it be to have the God of the universe love you like this? Well, friends, the great news of the Bible is you can have that. God's offering that to you, but it only comes when you come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You do that, you get the love of God exactly like this, and I hope you'll think about that. Well, I got one other good piece of news for you, and that is when it comes to this tug of war that we've been talking about, second of all, that God has provided a means for us to get on top of this battle that's going on inside of us, and the solution is found in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain. We learned in our last message that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit actually comes and takes up residence inside our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Now, as a follower of Christ, you and I may not have the power in ourselves to subdue these passions inside of us, but the good news of the Bible is that the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, does have the power to control these passions so they no longer overwhelm us, so we don't have to be their prisoners. You say, Lon, wait a minute, time, stop, wait a minute. You say, Lon, if this is really true, then explain to me how come I see so many followers of Christ living such defeated lives. Explain that to me. Well, there's an answer, and I'm going to give it to you. But first, I want you to put on your thinking caps, okay? Put them on, because I'm going to challenge your thinking. And maybe in some ways it's never been challenged before, and I want you to stick with me. So put your thinking caps on, and here's the answer to that question. The answer to that question is that many followers of Christ were taught to live the Christian life incorrectly. They were taught to live the Christian life wrong. And let me explain what I mean. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. The Bible says, if we live by the Spirit, we will not carry out, we will not gratify the desires of our sinful nature. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is to be lived by the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem is most of us were taught to live the Christian life differently. Most of us were taught to live the Christian life by human works. Most of us were taught to live it by human religious activity. Let me explain what I mean. When many of us came to Christ, you know what was handed us was the wheel illustration by the navigators. Here's what it looks like. And we were told that if we will do Bible study, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, that will result in us getting the vibrant Christian experience. And so many of us went out and we did Bible study, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, and we didn't get a vibrant Christian life. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. There is nothing wrong with Bible study, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship. They are wonderful things. But done correctly, they are designed by God to be the overflow, the outworking, the result of a vibrant Christian life, not the cause of it. The cause of a Spirit-filled life is the Spirit. The Bible isn't the source of power in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is. Praying isn't the source of power in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is. Paul didn't say in Galatians 5, if we live by the Bible, if we live by prayer, if we live by fellowship, or if we live by witnessing, he said, if we live by the Spirit, we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. But just listen to so many followers of Christ talk. When they're struggling in their Christian life, when things are low and dry and things aren't going well, listen to what they say. They say, you know, my Christian life isn't going very good. I need to read the Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to fellowship more. And whether we realize it or not, what we're saying when we say that is that we are relying on religious activity. It may be good religious activity, but it's still human religious activity to give us an abundant Christian life, instead of relying on the Holy Spirit himself. And there are thousands of followers of Christ all around the world just like this. Some of you are here today who are doing hours of Bible study, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, who at the very same time have spiritual lives that are bankrupt, desolate, and defeated. And you keep waiting. And these people, they keep waiting for some kind of whiffle dust to drop on them from heaven that'll suddenly convert all of this religious performance into the abundant Christian life. And it never comes. And let me tell you, it never will come. And I'll tell you why. Because God will not honor a system that depends on human performance instead of depending on the Holy Spirit himself. Let me repeat that. God will never honor any system that depends on human performance instead of depending on God himself. Friends, the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's a life that's to be marked by supernatural love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness. Now, we can't produce those supernatural commodities with Bible study. We'll never produce those supernatural commodities with prayer, witnessing, and fellowship. Those supernatural commodities have to be produced by the supernatural work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And this is why a brand new follower of Christ may not be spiritually mature right away, but a brand new follower of Christ can be spiritual right away from day one, because spirituality is simply the result of letting the Holy Spirit fill and flow out of our lives every moment of every day. You know, when I was a brand new follower of Christ, I came to Christ in 1971, 32 years ago. I'll save you the trouble. I'm 54. Now, when that happened back in 1971, you know what it was? In the first year I was a follower of Christ, I led between 50 and 100 people to Christ in the first year I was a believer. I mean, the power of God that was coming out of my life was unbelievable. And then I went to seminary. And they said to me when I got to seminary, you can't live like that. You can't have that going. You don't know Greek yet. You don't know Hebrew yet. You can't live like that. You don't know any theology. How can you be living like that? And I thought, well, I mean, they know more than I know. I'm brand new. They must be right. And I believed them. And it took me 10 years to recover and to suddenly learn God speaks English. He does. You don't need to know Greek. And friends, the whole point of this is that every single one of us as a follower of Christ from day one can live a spiritual life, because a spiritual life simply means the Holy Spirit is living in and through our lives. Now you say, well, Lon, I understand what you're saying, I think, but put some handles on this for me. I mean, help me really see how do you make this work, you know, every day? Well, we'll do that and then we're done. And the answer is found in Galatians chapter 2. If you want to flip over there, here's what Paul says. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live, here comes your answer, by faith. I live my Christian life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, faith means trusting God to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. Now, let's think for a minute. How did your Christian experience begin? Well, it began by faith. It began by your trusting the blood of Jesus Christ to do something for you that you could not do for yourself, to pay for your wrongdoing, to reconcile you to God, to bring you into relationship with God, right? Our Christian life began by faith. Now, let's skip to the very end. How is your Christian life going to end? Well, it's going to end by faith. I mean, aren't you expecting your Christian life to end by going to heaven? Of course you are. How do you plan to get there, folks? Do you know how to get there? Do you know where it is? Can you go down to AAA and get a trip tick to go to heaven? I don't think so. How are you planning to get there? You say, well, I'm planning on some angel or God himself coming to get me and take me there. Of course you are. So you're planning to end your Christian life by trusting God to do something for you you can't do for yourself. So if you started your Christian life that way and you're going to end your Christian life in that way, please explain to me why God would change systems in the middle. Well, the answer is he doesn't. And this is why Paul said, I live my Christian life by faith, by trusting God every day to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I walk out of my house every day, Paul says, saying, God, I'm consciously depending on you today to give me the resources I need to control the passions inside of me, which I can't do myself, so that I can live the kind of life that pleases you today. Now, I've got a little acrostic that I use that helps me with this, that puts handles on it for me. It's called WHY. Why? W stands for willingness. I walk out of my house and I say, God, I am willing to obey you today. I am willing for my eyes to go and my mind to go and my mouth to go and my heart to go, my body to go where it ought to go today. But H, God, I'm completely helpless. If I go out here and fight this battle myself, my eyes and mind and heart and body are going to go all the wrong places today. And so why? I'm going to do yieldedness. God, I'm going to yield to you and say, I'm not trusting my own human effort. I'm going out relying on the Spirit of God and his supernatural resources to control these passions in me and give me what I need to live for you today. And the Spirit of God and I together today, we're going to live the Christian life, and we're going to live it well today. And it works. You know, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go up to New York City for 2 weeks and be on summer witnessing campaign with Jews for Jesus. Now, let me tell you how this works. We go out onto the hot streets in July in New York City, And we go all over the city in 4 2-hour sorties a day. So 8 hours a day we're on the street. We go into the subway stations, Long Island Railroad Station, Greenwich Village. We go to Battery Park and Wall Street and the Staten Island Ferry and wherever, Macy's. And we stand outside and we give out tracts. And we do it with a big, bright T-shirt on, yellow, blue, red, that has on the front and the back in big letters, Jews for Jesus. Now, friends, in New York City, that's like painting a bullseye right in the middle of your chest and hanging a sign around your neck that says, please abuse me. And you know, New Yorkers are very happy to oblige. They really are. Man, I was up there during those 2 weeks. I had a lady cuss me out and say words I had never heard ever in my life come out of this lady's mouth. I had another woman spit on me, hack right on me in front of Macy's. You know, in all the years I dealt drugs, in all the years I dealt with heroin addicts, nobody ever spit on me until I got up here in New York. I had people assault me, threaten me, throw things at me, laugh at me, ridicule me. I had one little lady in front of Macy's, one little Jewish lady who tried to grab all the tracks out of my arm and knock them on the ground. And I'm telling you, she's pretty strong. And we were in a life and death struggle trying to hold on to these tracks with this little Jewish lady. I had a man down at Wall Street. I never saw him coming. I was looking the other way down at Wall Street handing out tracks. And I turned back, and before I could even react, here came this hand, hit me right across the face, knocked me totally down on the ground. But I'd like to tell you that in 2 weeks in New York City, I was able to return love and kindness and compassion to these people. I was able to go out on the street and take that rigorous schedule. I was able to go out and boldly stand for Christ fearlessly wherever I was. And let me tell you why. Because I woke up every morning and said, God, you know I'm in over my head today in New York City. And I'm not going to trust me to go out on these streets and have stamina. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to give me supernatural stamina on the street every day. And God, I'm not going to trust my own resources to go out there and have boldness on the streets of New York. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to give me supernatural boldness every day. And finally, I'm not going to trust my own resources to love these people, have compassion on these people, return kindness to these people. That'll never happen. God, I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to give me supernatural love, supernatural compassion, supernatural graciousness with these people. And you know what? It worked. Now, I didn't go out every day saying, I will not lose my temper. I will not get discouraged. I will not punch one of these people in the face or go to jail. No. I'd have lost that battle. I went out saying, God, I'm trusting you. And you know, when I came back to Washington, it was really interesting. I'll never forget God saying to me, he said, hey, Lon, you know how you felt so over your head up there in New York City? And I said, yeah. He said, you know what, Lon, I got something to tell you. You're over your head every day in Washington, too. You are. Now, it may not be quite as extreme as the streets of New York City, but when it comes to loving your wife, when it comes to being patient with your children, when it comes to caring for the people in the church, when it comes to preaching and driving on the Beltway and everything else, son, you're over your head every day. And that kind of reliance on the Holy Spirit you exhibited in New York, friend, you need to bring that back to Washington and live that out every day. God will honor a life that's lived by faith, depending on the Holy Spirit for your resources. He won't honor one lived based on human resources, no matter how religious and nice those human resources are. So try it. Try it out this week, and you see if it doesn't change the way you live. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thanks for talking to us today about the Christian experience. And Lord, you know you said that you came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. And that's your plan. The Christian experience lived correctly is an abundant experience. And if we're not getting that experience as followers of Christ, it's because we're doing it wrong. Now, God, thanks for talking to us today about how to do it right. And I pray that you would revolutionize the Christian lives of the people sitting here and listening. And Lord, that you would change not only the way we live, but the whole way we look at the Christian experience and help us understand it starts by faith, it ends by faith, and everything in the middle is designed to be by faith, depending on you to do things for us we can't do for ourselves. So God, change our approach if it needs to be changed, and reward us for that change by giving us the kind of vibrant Christian experience you promised. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?